All right, good evening, everyone. It's 7 o'clock straight up, so in respect of your time, we'll go ahead and get started. And thank you. You can tell real Catholics in the crowd, right? We're here no matter the snow, whatever, so this is awesome. So let's begin in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, when your apostles asked you, Lord, teach us to pray, you did just that. And you taught them the perfect prayer, which is, we know it as the Lord's Prayer. But in general, Lord, we ask you to teach us to pray. The reason for this particular Lenten mission is to open our hearts and our minds so that we may better be able to communicate with you, because conversation and communication are the foundation of all relationship. And that is our goal, Lord. We want to be in relationship with you. We want to get to know you, and we want to love you better so that we can spend eternity with you forever. And so as we begin this evening, let us pray the prayer our Lord Jesus Christ taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Welcome again, Peter.
Thank you. Thank you, Father. God bless you. Thank you, Father, for prayer. Again, glad to be back. Glad to see you back as well. So today we'll go pretty quickly into next topic, but first I want to lead you into handouts. And I don't know if you brought handouts from the last week, because I wanted to, again, thanks Carol for reminding me to lead you through the steps on how to. You know, every single time I will give you little steps of how to pray, many different ways people can approach God different ways, but that you will recognize yourself where you are. We will have a varieties of those steps. For example, on the praise, on the previous handout, you had those 10 P's for making meditations. This has been taken, that's from the last week. This has been taken from a priest, Father Dan Barron, who is the director of the Spiritual Formation in Seminary, St. John of Vianney Seminary. When he takes these seminarians to the retreat, he asks them to follow those 10 P's to make meditation, you know, like preparation. First, you need to remember that you are in the presence of God. Place, you know, you need to find a place which you can call sacred. Then you present yourself with awareness arising your heart, your mind toward God, rather than to those things which you think are really your needs. And then present to Him petition if something necessary. Posture yourself. Again, as we spoke last time, that when we pray, it is whole being that prays. We go with the body, with the mind, with the spirit as well. So the posture is very important as well. Passages, when you go to the scripture passages, how to read it slowly, pondering on that. And then how we go back, the parley, or Ignatius Loyola calls it colloquy. When you finish the meditation and the prayers, something moves you. But you want to personalize again. So what you believe you received in the prayer, you come to God the Father and you talk to Him and wait for the moment, for the sense of the movement of heart that He will console you and confirm that it is Him who spoke to you. Then you turn to Blessed Mother and ask the same thing after finishing with the conversation with the colloquy with Father, finish with Our Father. When we go to Mary, talk to her as well. And sometimes it is important that when I have the same sense of the confirmation from God and I sense that Mary is telling me some opposite, something is not right here, because they will never disagree. But you will recognize it in your sense. And then you bring it to Jesus Christ and present it to the Son, the same the fruits that came to you from meditation. And then finish, Ignatius usually asks us to finish with Anima Christi prayer. Why those colloquies are important, and what I want to remind you But let me first finish here, then finish with Our Father, finish the complete prayer, and then jot down what was happening. Put down on the paper that the tense be. Because, again, what is important when it comes to the taking journal in your prayer is not that you will show it to anybody. Yeah, that's intimate relationship with God. That's only for you. Recognize when you are jotting down information if you have a tendency to write a lot. Because in those moments when you are writing down what came to you in a prayer, try not to tell the story how it happened, because in our life there's a tendency to interpret what happened. And when I interpret what happened in a prayer, maybe just slight deviation, but in the long term it can lead us away from God. So start to journal exactly what came to you in a prayer from God, exactly word by word. Don't try to, many people try to do discernment, and I do the discernment spirit probably in sixth class, but analyzing prayer while you pray can be quite of a difficult, because you can start to see, well, is it God or is it me? Is it the devil or what is it? And you are not praying, you are analyzing prayer. Receive what is happening. Even if you have the sense of things like, I want to eat all chocolate cake, and that's what is coming to my mind. Pay attention to it, yeah, because maybe the wanting to eat a chocolate cake is that you desire certain satisfaction and you are not getting it. So you bring that even cake and say, Lord, what is happening here? Is it distraction or you want to tell me something about it? But allow God to lead you through that, and then examine prayer is usually go evaluating the prayer after you pray. But during the prayer, you allow God. Remember last week we spoke about the word, allow Him to take you where He leads you. Then I gave you this article, That Hour with Jesus. Anybody read that? How many people? Anybody want to give me feedback from that? You want to give me feedback?
I would say that's the most unusual thing I ever expected to read.
It's kind of cheesy. But did it lead you into that reality? What would you do if you will be Hour with God?
I think it's very good in terms of what it said. Mm-hmm. God wants to be with us. He doesn't want to talk about religion or philosophy or anything else.
Right.
He wants to be with us.
Right, very much. At the same time, when we read that, does it lead you to examine how do I approach God? Because with everything what we want to read, we want to turn to God and say, how is my hour with you? You know. I was thinking here, my sister was visiting him from Europe, and she teaches Pilates, so she wanted to come to another company that teaches here that she can adapt it back in Europe. And what was strange, she said that people sign up for those like a 6 month Pilates and they pay like $500. And in that place, if they don't show up, they charge them additional $15. And she said, that's kind of awkward. And those people told her, we don't need those $15, but we want people to take it more seriously. So I was just thinking, I will suggest to Father Bierbaum here, those who didn't read those handouts, $15. Father, you need new chapel to build? You'll make some money here. That can be another way. No, really, what we want to tell you that attending here will not do the work. You need to take it home. When I'll give you an article, some homework, something to read, take it really and take it seriously, because, you know, like when you work for the company, you may have a meeting once a week, but you discuss what happened between those Mondays, between those days in the week. It's not important meeting itself. Just like this is not so important, but to take it home. So that's in your handout, and then you have a resources on the back, and those books which I'm going to quote on the back of the last week, I have them here. If you have any questions, I'll give you a more answer about it. So thank you again, Carol, for reminding me to talk about it. And we will talk about the steps of the prayer. And I spoke with Father Bierbaum about it as well. I will give you a little example of a child or a beginner in a prayer. And you may say, wild child and beginner in a prayer. I've been doing it for a while. And I know that whenever I go to the people, usually I have a response like, wow, this is so deep. I never thought about it. Many people are quite struck and saying, like, I've been Catholic all my life. It doesn't matter whether are people younger my age or my age or even advanced age. They say, this is so deep. It's for me so hard. And many times people say, I feel like an infant in this area, like an infant. But here is the striking. If we feel infant, let's just look, because last time we were talking about those physical, academic, intellectual, and a spiritual being. That's what we are. That's what makes full person alive. If the child is growing physically and mentally is still infant, you recognize that there is something wrong, okay, that has to be treated. So if we are growing so much physically and even intellectually, but even when you look at intellectually, and we'll go through that again, I can grow intellectually, and that's a gift from God, intellect, but if I will use it only to look at our creation and build the kingdom on earth, I am misusing the gift of intellect. If I will use it toward God, using all the creation, then I am using everything, and we'll talk about it as well today, toward that ultimate goal for which I was created. But again, many of us are growing physically, many times intellectually. In our workplace, we have to always study. We need to improve and go through the training that will be up to date. Do we do it in spiritual life? Because if we are going to be presented to God and we are infants in a spiritual life, that tells us something, that something is out of the balance. Okay? So when I look at an infant, and I don't know how you train your children to walk, I have only 10 to train, maybe you train more. But I know that in a child, when you observe it, there is something beautiful when the child first time, even though it has a certain harmony between legs when it crawls and the feet and hands, but when it starts and erects, there is like an excitement. I'm standing, you know, and it's great. And then the child wants naturally to do what you do, want to walk, but it cannot walk. At that time, if you come to the child and say, you know what, my child, let me explain to you step how to walk. So you need to realize in your brain, you have this part which helps you with the balance. So step number one is when you are going to lift your hand and foot on that, you put the balance on your right and you are wasting time. Because the child doesn't go by that. You need desire. And when I see the child that doesn't have the desire and I need to teach him, I put a toy and said, come here, you know. Or I call the child to me and says, come here. And the child comes, doesn't know, doesn't look how he walks, but goes. And then you, when you receive the child, comes to you, you encourage that, to show him the love, show him affection. The child comes to you and wants to come back. And he doesn't think so much how many steps he needs to do. But the later you teach him instruction, okay, discipline and doing the chores and all those things, those are important. But the desire is very important first. You know, for example, when I go dance with my wife, we like those oldies. We are not growing in a country of rock and roll. So we do waltz, polka, tango, and foxtrot, and those kind of dance. And when I go with my wife, you know what, and we go and we dance, and I just enjoy it. We have great conversation, and I don't look, hold on, honey, oh, step one, two, three, one, two. No, I just go. But you know what, when I begun, I have to do. One, two, three, one, two, three, and I have to learn. But now, after it became habitual, I can enjoy. And when I hear the music, I don't need to think about it, how many steps I have to do, because waltz and tango, they don't go together. You just go in the spirit of the music leads you, and I can have a beautiful conversation with my wife while I dance. The same way in the spiritual life, what we are trying to do here, desire. Do you have the desire to be completely God's? Do you have the desire to belong to him completely and to be totally his? Do you have the desire to trust him completely? If that desire is not there, your steps are going to be a burden. Many times it's a burden. When you, for example, when you read Psalm 119, it's a beautiful long psalm. It's many times read in liturgy of the hours during the daily prayers. But how those people in Old Testament look at the law, not like we tend. For me, law is burden. A restriction of my freedom. Over there, they said, wow, your law is the light to my feet. Therefore, I'm going to follow it. You see, there is a joy from the love, from the law, because they desire to find God. The same way, when we look at the steps in the prayer, first, do I have the desire to spend time with him? And then, when it will become habitual, it's important that I put those steps aside. because it's going to disturb me. And we'll talk about it, how saints advise us. So even though we will give for, again, I don't know where you are here spiritually, and everybody can be different, but we will provide probably material for everybody. But that's just a little briefly about some instructions. And then hopefully on the end of the time, I will have, or you know what, I'll tell you right now, on the end of the 2 days, you have a 4 steps in the prayer. This comes from my spiritual director. And again, the 4 steps of the prayer is, first, put yourself in the presence of God. And it speaks specifically, don't go by your feelings, I feel bad, whatever, but go by your faith. Rise up in your faith. Lord, you are here. I know you promised. I surrender everything in my feeling, even the sense of you being absent. I surrender to you. I don't go by that, but I give you trust that you are here because you said so. And everything, the steps that first you need to be in his presence. Saint Teresa of Avila in her interior castle said at the very beginning, if you come to the prayer, she was advising her nuns, if you come to prayer and you are not aware to whom you are talking, and you are not even aware how poor you are in front of him, then you can say many words. I don't call that prayer. You know, it has to be always awareness. I am before God Almighty to whom I speak, and I need to recognize myself. Purify intentions. Many times we come with agenda before God. And there is a time for petition. We are not talking about now, we are not learning now prayer petition, but relational prayer. Prayer of petitions are very important. Your devotional prayers are important as well. Your rosaries are important. But if you will learn more relational prayer, then your rosary is going to be more relational. Your devotional, you are going to meet God on a more deeper level. It will not be so much external practices. But here in this moment, I come before God and said, here I am, Lord, take me. So it is important that I purify my intention, that everything will be toward God for the glory of God and for my ultimate goal. Act of humility. Again, as we spoke before, I need to realize my nothingness before God. But that's not that I will beat myself that I am nothing, but realizing that before him, I am everything, because one with him, I fulfill that all the meaning of my existence. And the act of the trust. When something comes to me from God and I pray, and we'll talk more about it today, I need to observe what is happening to me to that, what is happening to me, what I hear God speaking to me. Because there can be positive and negative things. Many times the negative I don't want to face, but I need to trust God that what is coming to me from him, it's good for me, even though I may have a struggle. Remember, when we first time we talk about in God we trust. Moses, who was asked to go to Pharaoh, he felt completely unable to do that, not able to speak. And yet, he had to trust in God. And what God told him, you know what? How you will know that it is me? When you will accomplish it, you will worship on this mountain. Sometimes we want to go ahead of the time we want to know if it is you. But many times we are like people of Israel who seek the signs because they lack faith. Okay? So in all those steps, we need to realize whether we are seeking God or results in our life, because the first, we need to seek the person. That's the relational prayer. When we go to the prayers of petition, then it is something else. So we are in the time of the Lent. So in the time of the Lent, we need to realize that this season is a gift from God as well. It is different gift than the Christmas season. And of course, it is time of the penance. It is time of increased fasting. It is time of giving alms. It is time of increased prayers. This is the gift to us. It's different than the Christmas. So, but because it is penitential time, we are asked to unite ourselves with Christ more in his adulthood, we as adult, and more in the way toward the cross, toward accepting his challenge. He said, if you wish to be my disciple, you need to deny yourself. Pick up your cross and follow me. That's where we are standing before God. And prayer is very important. You know, as a old catechism taught us that first what is important is to love God, know God, love and serve. Okay? Now, it is very hard to serve when I don't love? And serving without the love can be very difficult. But can I love what I don't know? It's quite a difficult as well. So the priority is to know God. The same way, when we are going to go on the Lent, when we talk about prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. So if I'll give alms, I can give it for wrong reason as well. Many people even fast for wrong reason, and God challenged us already. Remember, Isaiah 58. He said, you call this fasting? Let me tell you what is true fasting. But again, for that, I need to come and pray first, that I will hear him, how should I fast and how should I give alms. So always we want to go on the beginning, and that's the goal, what we want to always return. So sometimes it can be challenging, but I came across of a great writing on St. Alphonsus Liguori. Anybody have had a chance to read some of his writing? He's the master in the prayer. But this is what he said. He's one of the most popular saints in the 18th centuries because of this simple, straightforward style and his teaching on the sacrament of the penance. And he wrote the book, Greatest Means of the Salvation and Perfection. You know what it is? Greatest mean? Prayer. And he said that prayer is necessary and sure means of obtaining salvation and all the graces we need to obtain. He said that there was a tough quote here. He who prays is saved. He who prays not is damned. Quite of the challenging. Yet, when we hear sometimes challenging words from the scriptures, do we receive it as a love? When I try to correct child, I don't correct it because I want the child to feel bad, but because I desire the best light for him. Sometimes those prayers are important. The reminder of how serious the prayer is very important. So that's about it, about the steps of the prayer, what we are going to do and how important is the prayer. And I will try to tie, again, this beginning into today's class with something what was on your handouts last week. Unless you have any questions, before I move into today's topic, any comments? Okay, something else came to my mind. I want to ask you for help. Seriously, on a Sunday, my grandson was hospitalized. He got two heart surgeries. And I promised my son I'm going to ask everybody to pray. This is when he was born. This is how it looked like. Quite difficult, and he's now 2 years old, but his oxygen is going down because the heart was not developed completely. He needed another surgery. They are in hospitals, and this is what I can do. So please, please pray for him. Xavier is his name, and it would be very appreciative if you can do so. Okay, so on your handouts, I want to tell you that we are going to talk about prayer, which is sometimes called prayer of simplicity. Sometimes we complicate the prayer, or sometimes they call it prayer of heart. Remember when we talk about the catechism says it is the heart that prays. The source of the prayer is the heart. Contemplative prayer, that's another way great writers like saints, doctors of the church, Saint Teresa of Avila, Saint John of the Cross, they led people into contemplative prayer, or what we call it is another way is mystical prayer. And I touched on that last week, and there is a reason why I did, because today that mystical is many times confused. But when you read, for example, Father Thomas Dubay, who is a master on the Saint John of the Cross and Saint Teresa of Avila, a very deep Carmelite, he always exchanged the word contemplative prayer or mystical prayer considered as a one. Many saints. And I'll give you a little quote, more quotes later from theology, spiritual theology. But again, why I want to clarify it, because it is important to know there is a lot of Eastern mysticism coming to the Catholic Church. And many people adapting those practices which are not rooted in the Catholic tradition. And is a little by little opening to something what is not truly of God. And I know when I go around, many people are quite taken by that. But one of the prayers, like centering prayer, has not roots in the Catholic tradition. It's coming from Eastern mysticism, okay? If anybody had the practices, I would ask you to be cautious of that as well. So when we come about and speak about mystical life, it's important to understand what the church has said about it as well. But again, you may think that it is too much for you. But again, what we want to do here, we want to see and awaken within us our ultimate goal. We need to see that this is the even though it is highest level of the prayer, but like the child, we need to first see, do I desire it? Because if I don't, that there is some obstacle, okay? So many people today even think that mystical life is not for me. I am not the mystics. And because many times we compare it with the external manifestation on mystics. Many of them were in ecstasy. Many of them were floating in the air. That's not what we are seeking. That's extraordinary. And we are not seeking extraordinary. This, the mystical growth toward the mystical prayer is quite ordinary. And the church taught us that. And that's why I want to remind you the quote of the Saint, the Father Jordan Amen, who was teaching in Angelicum in Rome, wrote the spiritual theology, and they said that he, Father Reginald Garrigou Lagrange, and Father John Arintero, and probably you may be most familiar with this newest book of Father Reginald Garrigou Lagrange, Knowing Love of God. Many of those kiosks from Augustine Institute carry them as well. Just want to tell you, it says here on the back that he was the brilliant scholar who wrote about 50 books, 300 articles. He served as a theological advisor to four popes. Two of them are saints, okay? St. John Paul II and St. John 23rd. So you know that it's a good source. I think that the Holy Father John Paul II studied under him on Angelicum, and Father Reginald Garrigou Lagrange was the reason why he wrote Faith and Reason, okay, because he influenced it tremendously. But they wanted to defend and forgotten traditional teaching that and restored it, that there is only one path to the Christian perfection. And last time we started to draw this map saying that we need to have always before us the beginning at the end. And we said in the beginning, there was in the beginning God, beginning is the time God created heaven and the earth. Okay, everybody can see there in from the back what I'm drawing here. Okay, this is the Holy Trinity in heaven for eternity. That's our goal. That's the Alpha, as we said, and that's the Omega. That's where we came from, and that's where we are going. And we need to have that always in front of our eyes. But we live here, not in heaven, but here in a physical world. And that's why I use P only, not PH, for physical world, for the purpose of creating math. So these two, the several masters, combine a lot of the teaching of saints, and they said that it admits of ascetical, as we said, ascetical and mystical stages. And when we speak about, let's say, our active life, we can say that I'm physically here, but I'm active here, and here I pray. Or I can say, I live in a physical world, I live in my body, here is academic approach toward God, and it is mystical or spiritual, prayerful approach toward God. It's only one way, but we don't separate those. This is one, because God, you know, there are so many people that are so mystic that they are filled that they are angels. If God wants you to be angel, he will not give you body, okay? Body is important, and we need to realize that everything is important. Everything is a gift, my body, my mind, and my soul, everything, okay? And that's why we want to look into it. And there are so many places that can teach you about how to be physical healthy, how to academically approach even toward God, where you recognize that you are using academic understanding to build kingdom on earth. That's the movement when we are splitting toward God or away from God, because that's a gift. The reason is a gift. We are not animals, so we have that gift to go toward the ultimate goal. That's why I want to restore it. But they said, and a mystical life is not the result of extraordinary graces, but it is a normal, again, it's a normal development of the grace which we have received in the baptism. So if we are baptized here, we have the grace that is necessary for us to have such deep relationship with God. We have it. It is not normal if I don't even desire it, okay? Now, something else I want to remind you, that here, this part, I can be very active even here, but when it comes to mystical and contemplation, it is more learning to receive, okay? This is more learning to receive. And I will give you a little bit of hint in a little like analogy later. But first, I want to tell you another confirmation. For example, here, Saint Bonaventure said, if one wishes to receive mystical wisdom, he should ask grace, not instruction. Ponder on that. Why? Why? Desire, not understanding. Groaning in prayer, not diligent reading. Now, I was telling, speaking with Carol here before, that I had the people who came to me to spiritual direction, and they had great students. One is studying doctorate. He finished studying in Augustine Institute, and he was on fire. So he wants to serve God, so he's now doing doctorate. So in the spiritual direction, I told him, you know what, go to this book, this chapter, and read this section. And he said, I know it well. I did my thesis on that, you know, I work on that hard. And I said, no, go back. And suddenly he came back and he said, wow, I have not seen this there. And I said, what do you think, why? Of course, I had 2 weeks to read the book and write the paper another week, and there was a lot of preparation. So I went through that academically. I gained a lot of the knowledge, but now it spoke to me deeply, personally. That's not that academic is bad, but we are going to look into that, how much it can help me when I bring that thing, what is happening within my heart, in toward God. I was sharing with Carol that, for example, another person came and was in biblical school and said, wow, you know what I just learned? That in the Old Testament, Ark of the Covenant, I know what was in the Ark of the Covenant. It was Ten Commandments, because it was like a word of God in it. And Mary is called Ark of Covenant. That's great. You know, when you look at those, discover Mary, Ark of the Covenant, here is all the and like great knowledge. But I said, if you will take it in prayer and you said, Lord, why did you let me know that? Why did it struck to me when I was studying it? Maybe God will tell you, because you too are supposed to carry the word of God. And suddenly, it's not Old Testament, New Testament, but suddenly it's very personal. Because everything what stands out for you when you are reading, when you are going into that, approaching academically, bring it to God, everything, and allow God to reveal to you why it is something stirring within you and moving you toward Him. Okay? That's why we are not looking negatively, but that's what they say. You look for the teachers. Not a spouse, not a teacher, God, not man, darkness and clarity. That's another way to go deeper when we go to St. John of the Cross. Not light, by the fire that totally inflames within us. Yeah, fire within us carries us into God by ecstatic unction and burning affection. It is carrying us. It is, again, more to learn to receive. Another catechism 2013 tells us all Christians in any state or walk of life are called to the fullness of Christian life and perfection of charity. Again, Lagrange says that it is the only one way to the Christian perfection. That's what we seek. Or 2014 says spiritual progress tends toward even more intimate union with Christ. This union is called mystical because it participates in the mystery of Christ through the sacraments, holy mysteries. So you can go back and study more about it. So now I will go to the goal of our striving. You know, as I said, whether we are writing book, whether we are going on a journey, whatever simple things we want to do, we want to know finality. What is the ultimate goal? And that's what will help us to see where we are going, and then we take those steps toward that ultimate goal, little by little. So that's why we created this, these steps toward eternal life. And I just want to tell you that even though I'm looking at the map, here's the quote from Pope Pius XII said, reminded the theologians, and I'm not a theologian, so I can be, no, I cannot be wrong. Theologian, that the union between Christ and the soul surpasses all description. So we know that it is impossible to describe because it's mystical. And any exaggeration, even if it is merely by the matter of terminology, can have serious consequences in the field of the spirituality. He concluded by saying that this union surpasses any moral or physical union just as the grace transcends nature. And it is best described as a mystical union. So if I'm going to describe to you things, I have great consciousness that I will never describe completely what it is, that high prayer. But I just hope that you are going to sense in your heart if there's desire to go toward it. So I would encourage you to take the notes, and as I think I mentioned to you last week, not only as information. Because you can take a note and information which you never heard or never seen, or maybe you can hear something what you heard before, oh, and I forgot, it's good, you can take note of that. But mostly take a note what is happening within you, within your soul, when you are going to hear sometimes even the challenging quotes from the saints or from the church teaching. Look at those movements within your heart that, for example, when you hear something about this, you want that. And you recognize within you that you desire to go there, because desire is different than the thought. You know, again, that the movement of the joy toward what you have received is movement in your soul, in your heart. Joy or sadness, or when I mourn of a loss of something or someone, that's not a matter of head, but matter of the soul. So take a note of that, even if it is something what you may not like, but start with that. Because if you have a temptation like me, when I'm going to prayer, I want to tell God everything what I want Him to hear, because it's very easy. And when I am done with my part, I have a tendency to say, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, you know what to do, okay? I can go on, because I need your help. Yet, when I many times present things to God, I already coming with agenda and I want God to give me answers, and I start to ponder and say, Lord, what are you telling me? Nothing. I hear nothing. And you know what? Because I already have maybe agenda, or because I have the difficulty to listen, I don't know how He communicates to me. But maybe what is already here happening, it's Him who is initiating dialogue. Maybe that's what you hear here already, and you jot down what moved you is something what He initiated when you will be alone, that you can respond to it because you are already receiving something. How it can the negative look like? You know, maybe you hear something you need to face in your life and you don't want. Maybe this is, Lord, I need to take time. Okay, I don't want that. What I heard stirs within me not pleasant moment. Why? And bring it to prayer. Okay? Because when you are going on a journey, on vacation, and you hear squeaking wheel, you stop and you pay attention. You don't ignore it. Because you want to end, you want to go to the final destination. And if we hear something squeaking in our spiritual life, I better stop and pause and say, Lord, is there something what I am ignoring or what I don't want to face? And bring it to prayer. Observe what is happening within you. Because when we hear those great the quotes from the Bible, like Jeremiah 29:11 is so much quoted, you know, I want your prosperity. Everybody takes a note of that, you know. But once it is love your enemy, well, that is very difficult for us to take a note of that, because it is quite a different approach which we have, or movement within me. Because it's not so much pleasant, and yet Christ asks us to do so. So take a note of everything. As I gave you this analogy, I want to give you another analogy within analogy to show you how important is this mystical or contemplative prayer, because it is not so much about, as I said, our acting, but more to learn to receive. So I'll give you this analogy from the time when people lived here. Let's say again, this is old Europe, old world. And before people discovered America, the new world, they had to go across. But again, let us go back to that, how God created us, with the desire for infinite. You know, we desire those things, the great accomplishment, because it makes us to grow. You know, man wants to look at the mountain and said, I want to know how to climb that. I want to reach the top. I want to go on this, the toughest trip. I want to go to the moon. There is something within us which makes us to think, and we develop, whether physically or intellectually. You know, this is great accomplishment that we can fly on the moon, that we can go to the space. Great things. But in a spiritual life, we have a goal, heaven. That has to be alive as well. If it is not, something is disordered, because that's our ultimate goal. But looking at this analogy of people in Europe, probably were coming to the shore and look at that horizon and said, I wonder what's beyond that. Animals don't do that. Animals don't have the desire to ponder on that. We look at the sky and said, I want to know how come it's still blinking, you know, after so many years. I want to know those things, and I go there that way. So people were sitting here and say, I want to know. And maybe if the person start to use everything what has within him, start to go and swim, let's say, train, and in 3 weeks probably goes here and cannot swim anymore, returns back, and he sees nothing else but what he saw from the shore, horizon, and realize, I don't have enough ability to go there and find out. So man looks it out because he's great creative. In the image and the likeness of God, he is created creative. He creates the boat and starts to create this, how do you call it? What do you roll with it? Oars, yeah? And start to go. And no matter how many weeks he will try to pedal and go and go and go, maybe go a little further, but he gets so tired and he will see nothing else, only that. And then man said, let me create something greater. But in that case, I need something outside of me. And he created sailboat. And when he created sailboat, he realized that now he can go much faster that direction, but he needs and depend on something outside of him. Something outside, and he needs to learn to receive it. And that's the wind. Okay? That's the wind. But when we look into that, remember those boats, sailboats, when they look like there are people on the side with those oars, and they're trying to get out of the harbor into the deep. Why? Because, and again, anybody sails here? Anybody is expert in sails? I spoke with few people who sail. When you are on the ocean, you feel that wind is always coming to the shore. But it is not so much when you are deeper. Because of the different temperatures of the water and the land, it swirls here and always have a tendency to push you back to the shore. So when people are going out on the sails, they have to put sails down. They couldn't stretch them, and they had to row out of their harbor and go into deep. And many times they went through this area and there was no wind. They couldn't move. Many times even when they return back, they stop here, wind stopped there, and they saw the shore. And they waited a week. They didn't row because they said, it's useless. It's a waste of the energy. Or rather waited a week because it's hard work which they can be accomplished with a sail. So when we look at this example, why I'm using this example is because we need to understand that that's a spiritual battle as well. So another boat here. When I am living in my physical world, building the kingdom of on heaven, remember what we were drawing last time, it is very difficult for me to stop everything and take Bible, catechism, or life of the saints, and go out from my busy physical world, physical kingdom. But it is important that I go, and that's the rowing. I need to take my Bible. I need to take catechism. I need to take some spiritual reading. I need to apply. That's the rowing. I need to go. And everything is telling me, you don't have time. You don't have time for that. Look at how much you need to do. And it's a battle, like that wind that is always pushing you back. But I need to do it, and I need to do it regularly, and I need to go over that pressure that is telling me I can't. But I take my Bible, I take my journal, take my pen, I sit down, I go to chapel, or I go to church, I go to my corner. I need to go toward it, toward that goal. I need to apply myself. I give myself physically, I give myself academically. I open the Bible and I start to read. And I read and I pray and I ask God, help me here. But at that moment, when something struck me, I said, Lord, are you here? And I pay attention to it. At that moment, I stop rowing. I put my pen down and said, Lord, here I am. Take me. Because like those people, when they discovered that sailboat, then they could reach that ultimate world, America. They could find what is behind that, beyond that horizon, because they depended on something outside. And when we look at that example of the sailboat, I look at that like the boat is me and Jesus Christ in his humanity. The spirit is the wind, and the direction where I go is the will of God. Okay? So we need to look into that, but it is important that I need to do it all the time. Again, I want to tell you, this is not about me trying to go on my own intellectual academic approach all the way to the end and understand the mysteries of God. Impossible. If I want to understand God in my 2.5-pound brain, that God is not worthy to worship. Who can fit here? Okay? He is beyond me. So, and there I need to go by faith. Then I need to open, because even Greek philosophers came to understanding there is something greater. There must be great designers. But that we can have a relationship with God, it is revelation that came to us from God. Okay? So, again, we need to use this physical being, go out of there toward God, actively pursue it, and wait for the Spirit, for the wind to come. You know, when I told you last week, and I want to return back to it, into this analogy, how we look at this physical world, that on a physical world, we need to learn to walk, we need to learn to hear my parents, then they teach me to talk, I learn to write, I learn to go to the college. Here I get my first job. Here I get married. Here I got the children. But as I explained many times, we go this direction rather than that direction. And this direction are security in the world. We need to have a good portfolio. We need to give a security in the world. We need to have a nice house. We need to have a nice car. We need to make sure we have all this security in a worldly way. And we put so much energy and thought, even physical, even intellectual, even in spiritual, because we come to God and we ask him to help us to do these things as if we were meant to be here forever. Or if to building this kingdom is our ultimate goal. We know it's not true. And that's why I said God assisted us by giving us his revelation that came to us through a church. When God gave us Bible, God allowed us to have a priest or parents who taught us from the beginning that there is something more about the life. God gave us 10 commandments. God gave us sacraments. God gave us life of the saints. God gave us catechism. God gave us Augustine Institute. God gave us focus. God gave us that man is you and all of those other things. And when we go there certain time, in different time, we awaken and we suddenly, when we are more deeper, and now when I look at the life, now I understand that this life is more that I can see merely by my own natural view, okay? Natural. Because this is going toward supernatural, closer to God. And me approaching supernatural, now I have greater view on my life. So at that moment is the first moment of conversion. So when I hear something in Bible study, I go back and I draw people there because I love them. And I found more about the truth, about meaning of my life. And if I love them, I want them to learn that. It is very important. And if I love my children, I'll give them those sacraments. I give them, bring them to the teaching of the church, to the Bible study. I provide them their education because I love them. Not because I rule, okay? That's what is important. Not because I want to say, I give greatest education to my children. Good job. Hold on. First time you are, as a parent, who is the primary educator, schools are only help to help you. So what you learn here, you need to live here. If you don't live it there, ain't gonna happen. You know, I spoke with so many educators and they are saying, many people, Catholics, send children to school, to Catholic, and they learn about Mary, about Jesus, about miracles, and they came home and life is not lived there. So for them, there's another fairy tale story. That's another fairy tale story. Because if that's not tied, what I'm learning here or what my children are teaching, learning, and I don't live it at home, it's another story. Robin Hood and all those others. It's no different for them. That's why it is important that we live it. But if I love people, I go there. But after a while, remember I told you, I hear so many groups of the people, men's, I attended one men, women meeting as well. They are business people who are gathering here, but they support each other. They use little prayer, little Bible studies, but then they help each other to build their kingdoms on earth. And they feel pretty good. But as I said, if I will go with that, okay, Lord, never missed Sunday. Good. I go to church. I went to biblical school, done. Now I attended catechetical school. And you know what? I have decided this land is the most become most eater of a fish and fry, so I will need to go to heaven because I do all these things. So I need to go. And you know what? As I said, that's how we satisfy, and it provides certain satisfaction because I do these things. But remember, this satisfaction is not necessarily spiritual. It can be psychological. Because remember, I told you, what if I will come to God and say, Lord, Lord, and He will answer to me? Not everybody who said, Lord, Lord, enter the kingdom of God. But only those, and remember this very carefully, only those who do the will of my Father. You know what? Let us approach it with great reverence, Lord Jesus, and I ask you here again, you know how much it is in my heart, because I want to approach it with a great reverence and with understanding that comes from you. Because it is striking passage, Lord. Help us all here to look into that under guidance of your Holy Spirit. Blessed Mother, pray for us. You know, when Jesus said, only those who do will of God, He said, many will say, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we drive demons in your name? Didn't we do mighty deeds in your name? And then I will declare to you solemnly, I never knew you. Here's another. I never knew you. Remember last time we were talking about what is eternal life? To know God, the Father, and His Son, whom Jesus sent. And that knowledge is not intellectual knowledge, but intimate knowledge. That word is kenoskos. What He's talking about, well, I never knew you. Depart from me, you evildoers. Let us stop here. Look into these words, what they are telling Him. We drive demons in your name. Do you see any evil in that? Look here. Didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we do mighty deeds in your name? Why then, He said, depart from me, you evildoers. I never knew you. Did you ever try to know me? That knowledge is intimate knowledge. Did we have intimate relationship? I struggled with that tremendously. I said, Lord, this is almost like that holy fear approaching, Lord, so let me know what you want me to do. And you know, when I pray about it, I said, what is that then, what you ask us to do will of God? And I was struck by that because I went across of a Mark's Gospel, chapter 3. And here is the scenario when Jesus is home. He returned home, and there's a lot of the people who are listening to him. And the family members suddenly came to him, and this is what passage says. A crowd seated around him told him. So picture that. Go there. meet Jesus Christ, what he is saying. Lord Jesus, help us to see what you want us to see. And help us to see it with the Spirit, with our soul, that we will understand. Your mother and your brother and your sisters are outside asking for you. But he said to them in reply, who are my mother and my brother? Listen to this answer. And looking around at those seated there in circle, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother, my sister, and my mother. Whoever does, what are they doing?
Listening to him.
Sitting next to him. They are there, and he said, here are my brothers, here are my sisters, here are my mothers, because they are willing to come, sit, and listen, and learn to receive. It is not so much about what I do. And we'll go later into Lagrange's beginning when he warned us from that heresy of activism. And he said, what is then the most important in our life? To learn, to hear, to receive, and act upon it. That's the goal of the Christian life. That's how we are going to learn to do the will of God. Remember again, we are not looking negatively on anything. But we want to hear Jesus Christ, what he is telling us, how he's inviting us into deeper prayer. Because when we look at this part of the world, you know, when we study Bible, Jesus said, do not think that I have come to abolish the law or prophets. He said, I'm not saying that these things are bad. No, I came to fulfill it. Or what is going to be tomorrow's gospel? I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes of the Pharisees, who were saying, I'm good because I do this, I paid my tithes, and I do all my dues. Unless you will become others than them, other than Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of God. These are the striking words of Christ. And this is the beginning of his ministry. This is from the Sermon of the Mount. Or Sermon on the Plain, where he's talking about these things. He, as on the beginning in the ministry, is inviting us, and you know that he got big crowd there. So he didn't look at us, well, are you ready or not? No, he will make us ready if we will open, because it's not about us, but about us learning to receive what he wants to give us. You know that he continued and he said, I didn't come to abolish the law, but you were taught that you shall not commit adultery. I want you to ponder deeper. Go deep into your heart. Do you hate? And if you know me, do you see me as a part of hate? Am I there? That's where everything starts. Killing is external growth of that what is within me. Do you see me there? If you know me, you know this is not of me. He said, I was told, you were told you cannot commit adultery. If he will be today and said, do you click on that computer? Because that's already in your heart. You are already deceiving. Already in your heart, you are cheating. In your heart, you are committed adultery. He didn't come to abolish the law, but he came to invite us deeper into life. How much time I have? So, let me tell you, let me invite you a little bit into some quotes of the saints. Because how to deal and battle with that, there is no other way, only finding it in Christ, in him, in an ipso. Okay? So I will invite you to meditation, which you have there. And this is the first part. No, this will be a little bit later. The part of a spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius of Loyola. Here, Ignatius of Loyola is bringing us in meditation and said, you need to come here to eternity. You need to meet Holy Trinity in their eternity. and ponder on this. Here it would be, he is inviting us to meditation. How does the three divine person look down upon the whole expanse and or circuit of the earth, filled with human beings, since they see that all are going down to hell? They declare in their eternity that the second person should become the man who saves the human race. So they decide the second person of Holy Trinity become one of us. And so let us look at Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was born of as one of us. We need to look, and I will invite you to look on his humanity. I am not trying to say that he was not divine, but I want to meet you in humanity. Because remember last time we were saying, as Jesus Christ said, or what do we say on the Mass, by pouring the drop of the water, that he humbled himself to partake in our humanity, that we can share in his divinity. He came to elevate us, divinize us, but first we need to meet him in his sacred humanity. Okay? He too had to be born here, had to walk on earth, had to learn how to talk, had to learn how to eat, had to go to synagogue, had to come back, had to go on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem, had to go back work with his dad, and then again on Sabbath he had to go to synagogue. He was doing those things as well. He was just like one of us. Let us look at his humanity. Even though Ignatius tells us that it was from all eternity that the decision was made that Jesus Christ will become one of us. So this is looking in the time. And Jesus Christ grows like that, and he works with his dad, and of course he does build his business as well. He works with him. But that's not his ultimate goal. But we know that people at the time, 500 years in Jerusalem, there was no prophet. And suddenly John the Baptist was saying, he is coming, he is coming. What was he doing? Giving the desire for people, awakening the desire for that awaiting Messiah, that he will spire within them. I want to know him, I want to meet him. So people in the crowds were coming toward him to be baptized. And here Jesus Christ too, in his humanity, he's coming and he's baptized. And as Luke tells us in his gospel, chapter 23, after all people had been baptized, that Jesus was baptized also while he was praying. Something mystical happened. He too went from his busy life and went to be baptized to this, to receive the message in his humanity, message from the prophet. And while he was baptized, the heavens was open and Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form, and voice came and said, "You are my beloved son." As if this is the connection when Jesus Christ come here and in his mystical union with the Father, God will to him from all eternity, from this time, this is who you are. This is your identity. This is your identity. If you and I, we discover God's given identity, and it comes to us in our humanity, that awakening happened, that we will not to want to return to previous lifestyle. Because we came in contact with divine who revealed to me who I am. Jesus Christ never returned to his previous life. But remember this. Many people say, this is hard saying, this is hard, difficult to me. I don't know if I can. It's not about you. It's not about you doing it, but about you learning to receive that wind, to receive that spirit. Because when Jesus was teaching in the John chapter 6, easy to remember, 660, many people says, those words are too hard to accept. Too hard to accept. If this is too hard to accept, let us go what Jesus said in John 6:66. Listen to that. 666. Strange number. As a result of this, many of his disciples return to their former way of life and no longer accompanied him. Sometimes when we hear word of God, Either it awakens us or we run away from it because it demands a lot from us. The word of God is the still, always will be, love language. Always. How we accept it, it depends on us. If we take it as a love or as the obstacles. And if it is too hard for us, then we return back. But that's life of Jesus Christ. Yet, from all eternity, God wanted you to exist. You are not surprised to God. Just like Jesus Christ, he was planned. That was the plan by Holy Trinity. That second person of the Trinity will be born, one of us. Remember, Psalm 136 says, in mother's womb I knit you. Not just in mother's womb, as Jeremiah says, before you were in the womb, listen to this word, I knew you intimately. I knew everything about you. I knew who are you. I knew your identity, and I built you, and I knit you, and I gave you gifts, talents, and weaknesses, and everything that you can accomplish, only one goal, eternity, that you can return to me. He knew, again, this is the word kenoskos. I have dedicated you. I have given you mission, and you will not find it from anybody else. Only from him. And that's why intimate prayer with God is irreplaceable. Absolutely irreplaceable. Study about Jesus Christ and about life of the saints. It's not it. They all, Bible and saints told us, I found my identity. And I found my mission. Learn to do the same. Here, this is your handouts today. Principal Foundation, Ignatius Loyola, on the beginning of his spiritual exercises, he gives us this, and he said, remember this, man is created, so we are part of the creation, but we are created with purpose to praise, reverence, and serve our God, our Lord, and by this means to save our souls. The other things on the face of the earth has been created, why? Listen. To help the man attaining the end for which he was created. Everything here, what is created, was created for my good, and it is good only if it is used for that goal. If it is used for the kingdom on earth, woe to me. All things created, even my intellectual capacity, he knew me, he made me, he knit me, he created me with that way. Even my capacity to be wealthy, to be rich, whatever, is the gift from God. And if I don't use it for that ultimate goal, Ignatius said this, then man makes use of them as far as they help him to attain his end and must rid himself of them. As far as they prove a hindrance. So once you start to use it and you are attached to it, it became a hindrance to you to attain for what you were created. Beautiful invitation. So therefore, he said, we must make ourselves indifferent to all these created things. He said, consequently, as far as we are concerned, we should not prefer health to sickness, riches over poverty, honor to dishonor, or long life to a short life. I sorted it out for you like this. Said, as far as it's concerned, we should not prefer. What it means, I come, as I told you in that handout, in the disposition of prayer, here I am, Lord. And if you want me to serve you among poor, here I am, Lord. I take it. If you want me to serve you among rich, I'll take it. If you want me to serve you among sick, I'll be there. Or about among healthy, I'll be there. You know what? This is disposition. Whatever he wills, whatever he chooses. But if I chase health, riches, and honor, a long life, maybe that's my God. Maybe this is what I seek. And when I get sick, of course, we need to seek the health. We need to try to go to doctors. But what if doctor gives me bad news? It cannot be healed. You know what it can lead me? God, where are you? Do you care? Do you love me? Or maybe you don't exist and suddenly I am not willing to accept it because that's for me more important than learn to receive. This is a striking point. So Ignatius is telling us that we need to discern if we are free. This is from John Paul II, Faith and Reason. He said there is natural limitation to the reason. And people can even run from the truth as soon as they have a glimpse of it because they are afraid of its demands. Truth is demanding. Let me tell you a few stories, what I learned from doing it for a few years. Many years ago, I started to teach it more to the businessmen. I can relate more to men. I was a businessman as well. I had it for 20 years. And when we were meeting, when people started to pray, it was almost the same experience. And I tell you this. I tell you this can be tough words. If you are not going to commit to pray with this 15 or 30 minutes, it's useless for you to come here. Truly, if you're not going to bring it to God, I am not God, and this presentation will never replace the prayer. So I challenge you, go and take it. Because this is experience, what I have seen when people started to take it seriously. Usually men, when they started to pray, they were coming and started to receive so many things. When they came here, usually the response was fear. Fear. It is quite natural to fear when we approach divine. In Old Testament, people fear them. When they will see face of God, they will die. But you know what? Even Zechariah, father of John the Baptist, angel told him, do not be afraid, because he was afraid. Mary, the same way, do not be afraid, because when you suddenly are in the presence of divine, there is something unique experience. Shepherds, who angels appear, told them about child being born. They were terrified. And angel says, do not be afraid. This is what God is telling us. When you are going to be there, maybe in your inside of you can be fear. Do not be afraid. Because majority of people were afraid. And when I asked him of what, you know what they share? He said, when you go there to that moment and you are suddenly meeting God, you know you are going to see him face to face. And you know that it's going to be such purity that you are going to see yourself as he sees you. And that's scary. Because he can reveal to me, many people said, things I am attached to. And I am scared that when I will meet him, it will be so clear to me. And he will ask me to let it go. And I'm not sure I'm ready. Or some people said, I'm afraid if I'll come in front of him and then I'll see him, he will tell me where to go. And I'm not sure I'm ready. And many people back up from that. A few years ago, about 7 years ago, I taught these lessons to some of the wealthiest Catholics in the diocese, right on the ground of the diocese. And I gave them to meditate on something, what you have in your handouts too. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. When Jesus knocks on your door, you have it in your handouts, it's there. Take it home and ponder on that. And one guy came and he said, I'm meditating on that. Jesus knocking on the door and I couldn't open. And I said, why? Again, I was scared. And he said, what were you scared of? And he said, what was coming to my mind, what if he is going to ask me what he asked the rich man in the Bible? Listen to this, what is battle in a prayer? My goal of prayer is union with God, not union with my analyzing, with my thoughts. Okay? You know what is the difference? Because if I come, I respond to the fear. Fear is not in the head. Fear is the movement in the soul, is a feeling. I respond to the fear and I run to my head. I said, well, what if this will happen? So that man creates the scenario. What if God will ask me to do what he asked the rich man? So is this God creating or him creating? Him creating in his head, and he responds not to God, not what is happening, what God is inviting him to meet him, open the door, but what may happen. And because of that, he goes back and he's scared. That guy never came back to the classes. But I got his information, and I knew that he doesn't live only in Colorado. So about a year later, I invited him for lunch, and I said, you know, when you will be back in Colorado, can we have a lunch? I was very much struck in a prayer. Talk to him later. Talk to him. So a year later, he came, and we got a lunch, and after a while talking about many other things, I asked him, so did you ever go back to the meditation? And he said, I did. And it became even worse. And I said, what happened? And he said, when I ponder on that rich man, he had much greater advantage than I do. And I said, what was that advantage? He said, Bible said he was young. I'm not. I'm almost 80 years old, Peter. And all my life, I worked that I will be where I am. I am a very successful man, but I am not ready to let it go. I am too scared that God will ask me in my old age to do that. Don't take me wrong. That man, I know him well. Many people, if I would mention name, maybe in this room will know him. Because he goes to church very often. He gives millions of dollars to church. He is sitting on the board of directors, a board of trustees of many Catholic organizations because he knows how to run the business. He helps them to set up the businesses. But he is scared to meet God face to face. One day, we all will see him whether we want or not. And we will see ourselves as he sees us, no matter where we want now or not. Why not now? Because whatever he will tell me here, I guarantee it's good. But I need trust. It's good for only one reason, for that goal. For that ultimate goal. And I will have a few minutes here. I will share with you one more story of the priest who experienced the same thing. It was kind of the healing experience. Years ago, when I became spiritual director, I was working with many priests in the diocese and beyond the diocese and started to learn because I really wanted to help lay people. And there was an organization created in Omaha, was called IPF, Institute for Priestly Formation. And my understanding, my poor understanding of that is that they discovered that many priests who were joining certain orders, like Dominicans, Franciscans, or Jesuits, when they entered into the order, they had in their study year of the spirituality. But diocesan priests didn't have that. Not every diocese had that. And they said that many priests went to school, to seminary, and they studied philosophy, theology, biblical history, you know, catechesis, you know, pastoral care, homiletic, and all these things. But when they came to parish, life in the parish is busy life. Those people who work in the parish probably know how busy it is. And then there is a baptism, there is a wedding, there is a funeral, and there is this committee and that committee, and there is this meeting, and there is this group, and you need to go in a meeting. And suddenly, priests became busy social workers, but they didn't have time to pray. And we know the fruits of last 20, 30, 40 years, what is happening within the church, how weak church became because we became socialist rather than servants of God. And that's totally different. We'll talk about those differences. Because the meetings were more about planning rather than prayer. And the meeting were more source of our communication and dialogue and sharing ideas rather than bringing those ideas to God. So there were three people, Father Gabuzda, who is the diocesan priest, Father John Horn, who was a Jesuit priest and consecrated woman, Kathy Canavy, that were on a retreat, and suddenly there was like simultaneously with this aha moment, like we need to start to do something about the seminary work for diocese. And they created this program, and I was familiar with that. But as I was getting more familiar, I said, how about us lay people? We need that too. And I asked them if they can create the branch of which will focusing on a spiritual formation of laity. And they took some time discerning and they came to the conclusion, no. But years ago, they invited me to join them in Omaha for what they do when they invited about 250 seminarians from all around the United States to form them during their summer program for 10 weeks. But they told me, come here, and now you need to look at our program from the stand of the teacher that you might be able to teach. And while I was there, there was a priest who shared with us the story, which I want to share with you today. It's quite a moving and touchy story. So this priest, when he was sharing, he was late 60s, close to 70, but he shared what happened to him when he was almost 50. He was priest all his life and quite of the burden by this priestly vocation. Very tired, very exhausted, and he sensed in his soul, in his heart, he needs refreshment. He needs to go on retreat, but he needed to do 30-day retreat. 30-day retreat of Ignatius Loyola is not used very often, once or twice a year in your life. So he said, it's time to refresh it. So he went on a 30-day retreat with heaviness in his heart, inside of him, and there was a lot of things that started to irritate him in that retreat place where he was. So his heart was growing even deeper in heaviness. And then when he met his spiritual director who was supposed to guide him for 30 days, even more irritation, because that priest was assigned to him was 15 years younger. And he said, like, well, what, this kid will guide me as a spiritually? I am better. I am his father. Who can teach me? You know. So he was complaining to God, like, God, what are you doing here? Constantly, you know. And if you know the spiritual exercises before you enter, spiritual exercises are simple meditation in our life of Christ. Like we started here with meditating from all eternity, and we start with the nativity and end up with resurrection of Jesus Christ. And meeting Jesus Christ, I learned a lot about myself. It's not self-centered prayer. It's Christ-centered prayer. It's Christ-centered exercises. But before that, every person has to go through purification, examine their consciousness, and before entering into exercises, we need to go through meditating on sin, our own sinfulness, even the result of our sinfulness, which end up in the hell, and to see and meditate on the pain of hell. It is absolutely necessary that we'll see the consequences of sin, which can be very, very painful. Very painful. It was very painful for me because when I entered into spiritual exercises years ago, God revealed to me not only what I have done, I confess from that, but in that moment, He revealed to me the people whom I hurt, what consequences it had on them. Particularly, I was not a good boy as a teenager, left home at 15, and when I was growing, I never took the drugs, but girls and alcohol were a big part of me. And there was one moment that came to me in that prayer. The beautiful girl, she was virgin. I had a sexual relationship with her, but I did not love her. I left her, but because of me inviting into her, she became so sexually active. I was the cause of her life, being down, going down the hill. And at the moment when God was revealing to me how she suffers, what it does to her, I cried like a little boy. I said, Lord, I never realized that evil which I could cause to many people. That repentance at that moment was much greater because I experienced love of God and saw her suffering much, much greater way. It was not just, Father, forgive me because I have sinned, and I didn't face what I caused. And that's what spiritual exercises do. And this priest, when he was going through this examine of his consciousness, there was even more heaviness, and he couldn't wait to get out of that and meditate on nativity of Jesus Christ because it was painful for him to face his own sinfulness. But Ignatius said, director cannot let people go from that meditating on a sin on the hell, unless in spite of that sin, the pain of the sin, they will experience mercy of God. They have to, because if you don't experience mercy of God, you will have wounded approach to who God is. Okay, this is very important. We'll talk about it later, what it means. So this priest finally was allowed to go to meditation after probably a week of pondering on the sin. And he couldn't wait for the time of meditating on nativity. Why? Because as a child, he had a great memory from the nativity scene which he experienced in his church. He said, I was from small town, small tiny church, but the nativity scene was one of the most beautiful I ever seen. It took big chunk of the church. We got beautiful statues, beautiful animals. There was a lot of light. And you know what? Time was a child, you are growing up, and you have this nativity. What do? You are out of the school, another pleasant moment. You have a vacation, you just have a fun, and you receive gifts of Christmas. So all these memories and nativity was coming to him, and he said, I need that uplifting now. So he asked this priest to allow him to go to meditation and nativity, and he came to his room, and when he started to meditate, nothing uplifting happened. Nothing. And he was here on the down and said, Lord, so many things. I came here to find you and some uplifting and all what I'm getting more and more deeper in my burden. What are you doing here? Help me to receive it. And nothing happened in meditation. And he was walking back to his spiritual director to complain. Suddenly he saw in a hall another picture of nativity, which was completely different from his own. And it was the picture from Rembrandt. I don't know if you are familiar with Rembrandt. This is it. Quite of the dark. And he said, this is ugly. This is so ugly. How can people call it art? And he said, my small town has much nicer nativity than this. And he came and complained to his priest, the spiritual director, that not that he didn't receive anything in a vision, but in the hall he received this. And it irritates him. And he said, what irritates you about this picture? And he said, it's simply ugly. This is not the place for the child to be born. This is not the place for God to be born. Why would somebody paint it like that? And he said, bring it to prayer. So he went to prayer and he was even more angry. And he came to God and said, what are you doing here? And he cried out. But while he was crying out, he said, my own words were stirring something within me. My words were, this is not the place for the child to be born. This is not the place for the child to be born. Suddenly he said, why am I familiar with that sentence? He closed the eyes and said, Lord, what is happening here? And suddenly, immediately he was moved to his childhood. And memory came to him that when he was born prematurely. 3 months early, years ago, when doctors didn't have this technology as today. And 3 weeks earlier, and doctors sent mom home and said, we cannot promise he's going to survive. And he said, when my mom came home, she was melancholic. And this reality drove her in a big depression. My dad was former alcoholic, recovering. But because of this, 3 weeks fighting for my life, my dad didn't know how to deal with it. He started to drink. And he never recovered. And when I came home, that was not a place for the child to be born. And he said, what was worse, that as I was growing in this disordered family, whenever I celebrated my birthday and I blow this candle, there was next door lived my mom's sister, my aunt, and she always told me, do you know what your life cost to your mother? Do you know what you cost to your father? And I ask myself all my life, why was I born? Why? And at that moment, he said, all these things were coming to me. And I said, Lord, what are you doing here? I came here to get healing from you, uplifting, and I'm getting even deeper and deeper. As he had closed eyes, suddenly he saw this picture. But this time, in his mind, he didn't see nobody there, but there was a line of the people standing in front of that cave. And as he was closing his eyes, he said, Lord, lead me. And he saw shepherds coming here, and everybody left with joy. There were three magi came, and they left with joy. And the line was getting shorter and shorter, and suddenly there was one last person. And he said, when I saw that person was just standing there, and I was wondering why. So in my spirit, I went close to that to see the person, and then the person turned toward me, and it was my own mother. And he said, and then mom just stretched her arm and said, without words, come. And I said, no, mom, not. He said, this is the last thing what I want. The pain of a memory of her didn't want, but he said something within was telling me, move forward. So I did, and at that moment when I touched my hand on my mom, instantly I became baby. And then mom picked me up and put me on her shoulder and held me so tight. And he said, at that moment I could hear her heartbeat. And he said, at that moment was the first time in my life that I felt loved by my own mother. Never. And he said, at that moment, my mom just stepped into that cave. And he said, suddenly, everything became beautiful, beautiful, bright. And the joy entered into everybody's heart. And there I saw Mary holding Jesus. And she motioned with the other hand, give me your child. And then my mom gave me the arms of Mary. And he said, and now, that moment being held in the arms of my heavenly mother is indescribable. And imagine that, what it would be when you, in your eyes, when you are held by Mary and your eyes are facing eyes of Jesus who revealed to you, I loved you into existence. And he said, instantly, I was healed of all wounds. Instantly. And the joy that I experienced surpassed everything. All these other things on outside didn't change, but something inside changed completely my priesthood and my life. That was not because he studied. That was mystical experience. That's what he received, not what he accomplished by his own power. Just like what we spoke on the first night about Moses trusting God. Yes, God is even in those times when doors are shut. Not every door that is open is of God. But only way how I can know, not when I will think about it, but it will allow God to be God of those doors as well. And I know I will probably be, 2 minutes over. I need to stop, shut up here. Think again. Any questions? Does it make sense to you? I know this is not this full description of the life which God wants to live, us to live. This is just analogy. Something that we will take, something what is like Jesus when he spoke about parables, when he spoke about the kingdom, he used parables, something what we are familiar with. So I'm sharing with you stories. Maybe they will be familiar to your soul as well. Please take those handouts. Pray at home. And allow God to be God of everything. And I will be, any question, any about it? I know I'm over, so I will finish with prayer. Anybody has a question, you can come to me and I will talk to you. But those who want to go, can go, okay? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, surrounded by this cloud of heavenly witnesses and all angels, we are aware of this church that is already triumphant. Uniting our voices with there, we give you glory as we say, glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you. See you next week. God bless you. It's about Him.